Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know what a call committee is? A call committee is a group of people from a congregation appointed to look for a pastor. And when I was leaving my previous church and in between calls, I met Dave Shavara. And he said, "You come to St. Paul's, there's sauerkraut, there's deer meat, and beer." I said, "Sounds good to me." So, now, it was more complicated than that, but it was a beautiful wooing and marriage. And I thank God every day the privilege of being your servant of the word. But now say you were all on a call committee. Pretend you're on a call committee. And you're to call a disciple of Jesus Christ. Where would you go? Where would you go to find a disciple for Jesus Christ? Would you go to a seminary? To a church? Maybe to a monastery? Maybe a Bible study group? Where would you go to find a disciple for Jesus? You probably wouldn't go to Liberty Avenue or the Edison Hotel or Carson Street on the south side. You probably wouldn't go there, huh? But in a way, that's what Jesus does today. He calls a tax collector to follow him. Jesus didn't ask for his credentials or his resume or his references. He didn't coax him or try to persuade him to follow. And it was politically unwise, religiously unwise, to choose Matthew. I mean, Matthew wouldn't bring any prestige to Jesus' following. He wouldn't bring any political help to Jesus. He was a tax collector. He was repulsive to the Israelites, the ones that Jesus was calling to be his disciples. See, the taxes that Matthew collected were for who? Rome, much hated Rome. And Matthew did not get a salary from Rome. If he wanted to make money for himself, he had to have taxes go higher than the Romans wanted. So obviously he did, and many tax collectors lived pretty good in that society materially. Yet for some reason, Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector to follow him. And he did. And the Bible says immediately Matthew got up from his tax collecting table and he followed Jesus like that. And then, as if Jesus wanted to add insult to injury, right in front of some really good religious people, you know, the Pharisees, and they were good religious people. I'm not saying they weren't. He went into whose house? Matthew's house. And guess who went to Matthew's house? Other tax collectors and prostitutes, because no good Israelite would hang out with a tax collector, so who else is he going to have over? So after all, if you're a tax collector, this is your group. And the Pharisees did not see that Jesus, by eating and breaking bread with these people, they became his people. By his mercy and grace, they became children of God. No, they didn't see that. Rather, all the Pharisees saw was that Jesus stooped at a level of being with tax collectors and sinners and unclean people that you wouldn't be caught dead with. Those kind of people. Ooh. He associated with those people because, you see, to eat with somebody in Jesus' society was to show them respect, to include them into your confidences. And when the Pharisees questioned why he was doing this, Jesus gave a direct response. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Jesus exemplified God's mercy. He lived God's compassion. Now, this is important. Pay attention. Jesus does not defend the lifestyle of a tax collector or a prostitute. He did not approve of the things they did or cherished. He knew they were sick. He knew they were sinners. He knew they needed help. And he knew they lived against God's norm. They had the same disease as we all have. Sin. They were sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You know, yesterday, as is my custom on Saturday mornings, I was walking around La Roche College, university now, campus, and I didn't see students there. I saw guys with tattoos and ponytails halfway down their back. I saw guys in suits. I saw people with children. I saw older people, younger people, and they were all going to the main entrance of La Roche University. And I went in and looked and said, what's going on? And it was an NA, Narcotics Anonymous meeting. So I went in and started talking to people and looked around. Yeah, I really admired these people. They're honest. They have a disease. They want to get better. So they go to a place for healing. You know? I want to come out today and tell you. I'm coming out of the closet. I'm a sinner. I know it's hard for you to believe, but ask my wife, she'll tell you. I am a sinner, but I'm saved by Jesus Christ, and so are you. So are you. So let's not pretend anymore. Jesus knew he was the doctor, and he would offer to make them or anyone whole by offering to be their spiritual physician. He offers you and me the same thing. Now, here's the tough part. The cure Jesus offered is not easy. We have to quit pretending, folks. We got to take off the mask and pretending that we don't sin, that we aren't sick. We need help. We need to take off the mask. You know, we need to be sincere. You know, those people going to the NA meeting at La Roche University yesterday, they only can be helped if they say, "My life's out of control. I have an addiction, and I need help. I need a higher power." Then the healing can start take place. We have to be sincere. You know what we're sincere, the word came from? It's two Latin words, sine chera. Sine means without, chera means mask. In the old days, they used to, on theater, they'd have these masks with little megaphones in it. And that's, if they have the happy mask, they were a happy character. If they're sad mask, take off the mask and be Fred in his Fredness, or Ann in her Annness, or Carol in her Carolness, or Bob in his Bobness. Let's take off the mask. Take off the mask. And let Jesus come into your life and be your healer, be your light. And wow, things will happen. And Jesus did not lead Matthew away from his friends. He entered into his house. He didn't try to say, "You're unclean." He entered into their house and he brought love and forgiveness. Not license to okay their lifestyles, but love and forgiveness and healing to all who'd receive. And those who did receive, they were born again. Their lives were changed. They became new people. Burdens were lifted from them. Remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Burdens were lifted, and they have this joyful lifestyle. And in love, they changed. And God's word alone became their guide. And those who received his presence, his love, they became children of God. A whole new perspective, a whole new way of seeing things. And they followed Jesus and entered into the adventure of their lives. And then in Matthew's gospel, things pick up. The very next thing that happens to Jesus was the head of a synagogue comes to Jesus. And he says, "Help me, help me. My daughter is dead. I know you can make her alive." And so he went. And he was going, a woman who had hemorrhages for dozens of years. And she was unclean because to the Jews, women who were going through their periods or their hemorrhaging, they were contaminate you. I mean, when Joan and I in the Chautauqua, the Perel house. It's a big house. They have like $1 million worth of stained glass windows. It was rich. But they're Hasidic Jews. So they have a place there where if a woman's having her time of month, she has to sit in that tub. They still do that for the, not the, you know, Reform Jews, but the conservative Jews. So if anybody's around her, they would be contaminated. So she touched Jesus, which would mean he would be contaminated. But Jesus was not contaminated. Rather, she was healed. And she was no longer lonely because she was now whole and she was loved. Her faith, Jesus said, her trust, her crazy trust in him made a difference. Matthew saw all this happening firsthand. He saw Jesus go into the synagogue leader's house, and they're playing the flute and mourning, and Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. Ha, 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 they laugh. He's a fool. What a fool he is. They derided him. He knew in God all things are possible, and she lived. Matthew, firsthand, experienced all of this. And Matthew saw that his lifestyle was going against the way he could live God's kingdom. So he changed. He repented. He went from this path to Jesus' path. And suddenly things changed. And he followed Jesus, and Matthew was born again. He was a new man. And the gospel we just heard today was written by this tax collector, Matthew, who now was a new man, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And those who responded to Jesus received life. And those who reject Jesus, they live in the consequences. And that's sad, because Jesus' love never ends. It's only we who can block it. We need to take off the mask and be honest with God. Jesus loves us. Jesus forgives us. He heals us. That never changes. I mean, I know sometimes it's too good to be true, we think, but it is too good to be true because it is true. That's the way God operates. Those of us who invite him into our lives, receive him, know he loves us, and he gives us the courage to love others and to change our ways every day. Martin Luther says, quoting St. Paul, we need to die and rise with Christ. Die to the false self. Rise to the new self. That little word of love in your heart, that love in your soul, that you know that you are loved, and let that love out to other people. I know sometimes we're hesitant doing that because what will people think? Who cares? God's with you. And this is it. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. This is the new lifestyle in God. This is the kingdom come. And through his earthly ministry, the church, through the healing ministries in North Hills Passavant Hospital, which was started by William Passavant, a Lutheran, or St. John's Care Center in Mars, or through Passavant Health Center in Selianople, or through Teal College, started also by Passavant, or through St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. You're a healing center because you know Jesus Christ in your heart, and other people are starving for that knowledge that you have. Jesus is still on the move, healing, forgiving, loving, giving us his body and his blood to strengthen us, to do the same for others, giving us the strength and courage to act. And as we change in the power of the Holy Spirit, our lifestyles, and the direction of our lives, and follow Jesus, can we share that love and that healing? And others will join in spreading the good news. Oh, yes, bad news spreads a lot faster than good news. But good news spreads too. And good news in Jesus Christ is the truth, capital T. Love, capital L, is the truth, capital L. That's the way of God, because God's in control, as we sang in our psalm today. And we then are encouraged by the Spirit to go, like the disciples did, and spread this news through our district. The good news that the world desperately needs. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.